Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning, and Happy New Year! Oh, that was not so good. It is a Happy New Year, so let's say it like we mean it. Happy New Year! That is wonderful. Well, I can't tell you how glad I am to be here with you today. I'm so excited, so excited. God has given me lots of downtime to contemplate, to think, to pray, to rest, and I am ready to take the next step moving forward and for all of us to do that together. And it's going to be a Happy New Year, and here's why I know. It's going to be that for each and every one of us this year. If we will understand, church, if we will just understand how blessed we are just to have the Lord with us. We forget so many times when life gets in the way that He is still with us. That He never leaves us, that He never forsakes us. Just to know that He is for us no matter what we are going through. We have no excuse but to be happy about that because He is with us. To carry around joy the whole year through. I promise, if you abide in the Lord, He will abide in you and you will be happy in 2021. Why can I promise that? It's not because of me. It's because that's what the Lord's word says. That if you abide in Him, He will abide in you and give you everything that you need. There is nothing you will be without. There is nothing you can't handle as you take every step. Now, how can we make this happen? The book of Matthew tells us this in Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. You see, that's the first way to make it happen, is to seek God's will, is to seek God's kingdom, is to seek God's righteousness first. If that comes before every decision you make, every thought that you have, every action that you have, anything that you do, if you would seek God's righteousness, if you would seek God's kingdom, what is your will for your kingdom in all this, Lord? I want to be about that and I want to step in to that. He says, all of these things, whatever that is for you, all of these things will be given to you as well. F.B. Meyers wrote, it is a mistake to be always turning back to recover the past. The law for Christian living is not backward, but forward. Not for experiences that lie behind, but for doing the will of God, which is always ahead and beckoning us to follow. You see, God's will is always forward. God's will is to never go back. His will is to move us forward, to grow us. Spiritual maturity is the goal. His kingdom come is the goal. And that is always forward. Church, our tomorrow is today. Our tomorrow is today. We must seize it today. Not worry about tomorrow like Scripture encourages us, but to see today and know that it's about moving forward today. At this very moment, if that hasn't been in your mind, it needs to be in your mind, and you need to see how that looks moving forward. Before you ever leave this building, or if you're at home today watching and join us, before you ever take a step out of your house, what does it mean for you to move forward with the Lord? All right, I've got a graphic I want to show right now, and I want us to say this together. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand up. If you're at home joining us today, I want you to stand up where you are, if you can, and I want us to say this together. I'm going to say it first, and then I want us to say it together. Not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over. In you, old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Now, all of us together, one, two, three, not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over. In you, old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Amen? Have a seat. And would you pray with me? Father God, I'm so excited to be here today. Lord, my heart is overwhelmed. It's overflowing with contentment and joy and hope. For me, yes, Lord, but for your church. I love your church so much, God. And I want us all to feel that. I want us all to know and live that in our lives, that you are with us. And there's nothing that comes our way in 2021 that we can't handle without you. But God, we have got to take steps. We can't be paralyzed by fear. We can't be dissuaded or disillusioned by happenings in our lives that the devil wants to detour us with. God, we must have faith and hope that you are with us, and every step we take moving forward is the step that you've called us to, God, and your promises will be true and your blessings will be fulfilled, God. We love you so much. And everybody said together, in the name of Jesus. Now I have a question for you. What do an airplane, a bicycle, and a church have in common? If either stops moving, you're in trouble. You can't stop. If you stop an airplane, you're in trouble. If you stop a bicycle, you're in trouble. If you stop the church, we're in trouble. Because you can't stop the church. Scripture says the gates of hell will not even overcome. So we start out with confidence that nothing can take down the church. The church of Jesus Christ that God established here. And when he establishes something, when he says it will be, it will be. We know about doors, right, in Scripture? There is no door that we can open that the Lord has shut. And there is no door that we could shut that the Lord has opened. And the Lord is opening doors. He's opening doors in your life this year. He's opening doors for the church. And church, we must step through. We must move forward. When we cease to stop moving forward, we might as well stop being a church. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because the Lord is with us. Now, I want us to take a look and read together our scripture text that will guide us through this whole four-week message series about forward. And I pray you will use it for the rest of your life. In Philippians 3, we read this scripture at the end of the year, but this is what we're going to use to start this year out. And I want you to really think about the words that Paul is speaking here in this scripture. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul speaking. You know, we look at Paul, we look at the Apostle Paul like, man, this is God's man. He's got it all. God is with him. But he says, I am not perfect. Anybody perfect? You may think in your own mind that you are, but just look to the person next to you and ask them if you're perfect. They'll let you know. We are not perfect, but you know what? We're perfect with Christ in us. And when Christ is in us, we can do all things. We can leave the past behind. And we can strain ahead. Strain, that means it's a fight. That means there's going to be some resistance. That means there might be some hurdles and a little bit of trouble. But we press on to move forward because that's where we've been called. We belong to Christ. He has rights to our life. And so when he says it's time to move, all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, and go. Church, there are many things we can't yet get back to. Due to the carryover of this pandemic in 2021. And now with the new strain that's supposedly milder, yet more contagious, we carry hope though. And we prepare and we keep growing in God's word so that when the time comes and the Lord has called our name, we are ready to do whatever he is asking us to do. There are still many ways for us to move forward. We can't get back to everything that we were getting back to, but God has afforded us other options, other ways to minister to people. And we can't sit. We got to move forward in those. He's given you some commands. He's given you some direction that you have been sitting on. And you need to get up and move. You need to say, God, forgive me that I have stayed stationary, that I have stayed complacent. You have given me a call, and I have not moved forward, God. And I apologize. Please forgive me, but I want to honor you now that this is the life. This life belongs to you, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to move forward. There's still many ways in our hearts and in our minds, in our spiritual practices, in our spiritual maturity, deepening our love and compassion for this community and the world the Lord opens to us, and then acting on it. He opens a door not to just look through. He opens a door so you will walk through. His kingdom come when we walk through the doors that he opens. And do what he's called us to do. We need to move forward in it. But you and I have to make a commitment in our personal lives that we will not be held back from outward or inward influence, because sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We will continue to love our neighbor by considering how we may keep them safe and well, but we will do even more to please the Lord in 2021. That is our goal. Please the Lord. Whatever the Lord pleases is what the Lord is going to get from me. And I pray that is what it is for you as well. When we do that individually and bring it together as a church body, our momentum will move us forward for the sake of the kingdom of God. Amen? May it be so. So let me ask you a question, something to contemplate today. Where is your focus? Where is your gaze? Where are you looking? Where is your attention drawn to? Where are you looking? Are you looking behind? Are you still marinating on 2020, on the past? Or are you looking ahead? Lord, what is it that you want? Yes, some of the things haven't changed, and some of it might just lock down even more, but the Lord still moves. The Lord still moves. There's a reason that the mirror attached to your windshield in your vehicle is so small. It's only a fraction of the size of your windshield. And why is that? You only need a glance back. But you need to keep your view on what's ahead to see all that you can see, to know where you are going. Safe drivers glance at the mirror, the rearview mirror, but they focus on what's ahead. So who are you? Are you a safe driver? I don't mean like physically in the car, because you could probably tell that about you. Oh, you're not a good driver at all. Do you know who you are, though? Does God have a rearview mirror driver that he's dealing with? Or does he have a look through the windshield driver to see everything that God is allowing or that God is putting in front of you to move forward into? I would pray that you would commit to be the full windshield, my full windshield. It's going to be clean. I can see through it. That mirror is just a glance back, but I'm moving forward. I am looking ahead, and God is presenting me with everything that I'm supposed to be a part of. Proverbs 4:25 says, "Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you." This is Proverbs, the book of wisdom. This is wisdom for you and me. Let your eyes look forward, church. Let your gaze be straight before you. We're moving ahead. We're moving forward. Bob Goff, one of my favorite authors right now, wrote a new book called Dream Big. He says, "Who are you? The older I get, the more people I personally know have had a stroke. It's a cruel medical problem because often, in addition to causing physical limitations, it robs the victims of some of what they cherish the most. Their memories. The brain attempts to knit itself back together and recreates the pathways and circuitry disrupted by the stroke. Bob continues to share a story of someone he loved had a stroke, and the doctors recommended photographs be up on the walls of the hospital room to help jog her memory as her brain reconnected with itself. She would stare long and hard at the walls and point. One by one, she figured out the photographs. Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's my husband. Oh, that's my daughter. That one, that was of our dog. It took a while, but eventually she figured out every photograph except one. It was a photograph of her. It's easy to think we've got everyone else figured out, doesn't it? Oh, I know about that person. I know what kind of person he is or she is. But what about ourselves? Your identity, church, your identity is in the Lord. And your purpose is in the Lord. And it's all about moving forward in the Lord. Because when you look at Him straight forward, let your gaze be straight ahead. Let your focus be forward on the Lord. And don't listen to what everybody else tells you about who you are. You know who you are. You know whose you are. You are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, there is nothing about you that is invaluable. There is nothing about that you can't do that the Lord has ordained for you to do. The Bible is filled with people who saw what life would look like in God's kingdom and then moved forward in faith. Is that you? They didn't know who they were, but they sure did after God got a hold of them. Abraham dreamed of a great nation, even when he was yet childless. Moses envisioned a free people when the Israelites were still making bricks without straw. Joshua envisioned an occupied land, the promised land. Samson, a defeated enemy. David, a temple on a hill. Nehemiah built miles of reconstructed walls in his prayers before a single stone was laid. Daniel glimpsed a future kingdom. Peter, an established church. And Paul, a global mission. What is it that you envision God wants you to move forward into this year? What is the picture that you get in your mind when you hear me say that? If you don't have a clear idea of where you want to go and why you want to go there, then it's going to be difficult to sustain forward momentum. You have nothing to fuel it. But my encouragement to you today is that there is fuel. And it's God. It's God's vision. It's God's dream for your life. In Carol's Altered Reality, the conversation between the disoriented Alice and the mysterious Cheshire Cat actually went like this. "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" Alice asked. "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "Well, I don't much care where," Alice said. Do you remember what the cat said? "Then it doesn't matter which path you take." Church, it matters which path we take. It matters where we go and that we're following the Lord, because His path will be clear. His path will be lit. His path will be protected. His path will be a guided one, because it's where He wants us to go and it's for His kingdom's sake. As God opens the eyes of your heart to see, we are planning to move forward with hope and with faith, no matter where it takes us. As long as the Lord is with us and it's His plan for us, forward is where we will go. Lillian Thrasher only had a dream of what she thought the Lord wanted her to do. Lillian was working in an orphanage in North Carolina when she felt God's call to pursue missionary work in Egypt. The call was so strong that she broke off her engagement with her fiancé and when he didn't share her vision. She sold her belongings and boldly booked passage to a foreign country, arriving with less than $100 in her purse. One day, she was asked to go to the bedside of a dying young widow who begged Lillian to care for her malnourished baby girl. Lillian agreed, and so began the first orphanage in Egypt. Those first years were filled with great difficulty and limited support. But Lillian persevered to realize her vision of not only an orphanage, but also of schools and evangelistic ministries. By the time of her death in 1961, Lillian had cared for more than 8,000 orphans and touched thousands of others. The organization she founded, the Lillian Thrasher Orphanage, still serves the needy in Egypt today. This God-sized dream began when Lillian offered the Lord a prayer when she was a child. She never forgot it, and neither did the Lord. She said this, "Lord, I want to be your little girl. Lord, if ever I can do anything for you, just let me know, and I'll do it." The Lord kept her at her word, and she kept her word. How about you and me? Are we God's child or not? Are we willing to say, "Lord, whatever you say, if I can ever do anything for you, Lord, just tell me, and I will do it." She didn't make any excuses. She didn't put any, "Well, except for these reasons. Well, unless this happens, Lord, then I'll do it. But other than that, Lord, I'm for you. I'm with you. Whenever you just say the word." No, she didn't put any of that in there. And neither should we. We shouldn't say, "Lord, I'll do it only if." We said, "Lord, we will do it unequivocally whenever you say." Church, the best dreams don't start with us, but instead they are planted in us by God. If you're a child of God, He has a plan for you, and He wants to plant it in you. It might already be planted. You might already know that it's planted, but you haven't been watering that seed. He wants to grow that dream in you. He wants to grow that vision in you, and He wants you to move forward with it. When God plants something in us, He takes responsibility for it to grow. You're not left alone, but we have to move forward in those dreams, in those visions, church. Moving forward begins with listening to the Lord and not to your own doubts and fears. There will be difficulties, there will be setbacks, there will be hurdles, there will be blockades. And some of these will be on purpose because the Lord knows what you need, primarily to trust Him. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward." It doesn't matter. Some of these things are planned for us so that the Lord can teach us. He wants to grow our perseverance. He wants to grow our determination. He wants to grow our faithfulness. And sometimes putting these things in us will test our resolve. Do we mean what we say when we say, "Lord, I will do anything you asked me to do"? Is there something holding you back today from doing what God is asking you to do? Is there something that's keeping you from moving forward? Angela Cecilia said this, "You can't expect to move forward if your emergency brake is on." What's the emergency brake that's keeping you from moving forward? You got to disengage it. You got to open it up. You're not going to move if the emergency brake is on. We should understand something about the dreams that God has planted in us, though. It will always cost us something. The cost comes in money, in energy, in criticism, unbelief, unplanned obstructions, unfaithful helpers, and a multitude of other discouraging things. But it will always cost us something. And you know what? You should want it to cost something. Why would you offer something to God that didn't cost you anything? Is He not worthy of our best? After all, our salvation cost Him His very own precious Son. It cost Him everything. King David found this out when God led him to purchase some land for the temple at a high spot. It was owned by Araunah, the Jebusite, who used the high location for its winds to thresh out his wheat. The chaff, however you want to pronounce that, would blow away and the grains of wheat would be collected and sold. David approached Araunah for this valuable site, the most desirable location in Jerusalem. David could have just taken the land. He was King David. He just could have taken it and said, "I'm seizing this land for the temple of the Most High God." But listen and understand why David did what he did. Out of 2 Samuel 24, starting with verse 18. "And Gad came that day to David and said to him, 'Go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up to Gad's word as the Lord commanded, and when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king," Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king said to Araunah, "No, but will I buy it from you for a price? I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. David wasn't going to offer anything to the Lord that didn't cost him something, because he knew how valuable the Lord had been in his life and all that the Lord had done for David. Puzzles. Anybody like puzzles? I love puzzles. I've told you how I love to do puzzles. Since my mom has joined us, since just right after Thanksgiving, she likes to do puzzles too. And we're on our seventh puzzle. It's laying on the table right now, and I think it's my wife's favorite puzzle, she said. She's the one that gave it to me for Christmas. And it is a good puzzle. But when you do a puzzle, there are different difficulties. There are different size pieces. There are different shape pieces. There are myriads of colors and pictures. But you don't just begin a puzzle just to do the border, do you? "Oh, I've got the border done. I'm done." No, you don't do that. Is that the complete picture? Or even the parts that seem easy and you let the rest go? Because there are easy parts to a puzzle and there are hard parts. When you get one that's full of sky and full of water, those are hard puzzles. But don't start the puzzle unless you're willing to finish the puzzle. You see, I'm not satisfied till every piece of the puzzle is in its place. Now and again, someone, if you're listening, Garrett, in my family will hide a piece of puzzle for fun. But by the time you get to the end, it's not so fun. I don't know if I've told you this one time. We like to do the puzzle on our kitchen table, and there's a chandelier over, and it's got the bent arms and everything. And I get to the end of my puzzle, and there are three pieces missing from my puzzle. Garrett has already gone back to Carrollton. And I call him and say, "Garrett, do you have my puzzle pieces?" And he said, "No, Dad, I do not have your puzzle pieces. No, Dad, I do not have your puzzle pieces." He said, "Where are you standing?" I said, "I'm standing at the puzzle right now." He said, "Look up." And there were three puzzle pieces sitting in the chandelier above the puzzle. They were there the whole time. But it's become funny now. I never used to think it was so funny. But I always work a puzzle with a plan when I sit down to work it. And I always enjoy it. I don't want to do it if I don't enjoy it, but I enjoy it. I can sit for hours. Hours will pass. And I'll look at the clock and say, "Oh, man, it's that time already. I got to go to bed." I could sit there for 3 hours working a puzzle, making the picture like I see on the front of the box. I want it to be fulfilled. I want it to be complete. I see the picture. I tackle small parts of the bigger picture, and eventually they all find their place until the puzzle is finished and it looks like the vision on the box. What is the vision in your mind right now that God has given you? It's not going to happen all at once. It's going to come in pieces. It's going to come in parts. Some of them will be easy. Some of them will be hard. But don't accept the vision unless you're willing to finish the vision that God has given you. You have to move forward. We must take the picture of what God has planted in us as abstract as it may be right now, and begin move forward with the practical steps to make it happen. The vision God has put in you, understand, is as much for others as it is for you. God's intention is to use you to bring others to Him and accomplish His greater plan. It must become as practical as Esther's dinner, as David's slingshot, as Gideon's torches, the boy's lunch of bread and fish, the Good Samaritan's wine and oil, and Paul's pen and parchment. Every piece fits and has a purpose for completing the picture God has given you. We must not take everything and just abandon it. We must not skip a step. We must move forward to completing the picture that God has given you. Maybe it's for you moving ahead. Maybe it's about your family. Maybe it's about your work life. Maybe it's about this church that you have sat on the sidelines for so long that it's time to get up and get involved and help this church move forward. Friends, God has given you a picture of what is ahead, or even what the next step is. You must move forward, and you must not let things discourage or deter you. Don't wait for tomorrow to say yes. Don't wait until tomorrow to see if all the provision comes in. Your tomorrow is today. You must seize it today. If God planted in you, then He meant for it to grow. He meant for it to go. He meant for you to move forward. Listen to what David said to Solomon, which has been a charge to pastors and missionaries and Christian workers ever since it was written. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished." You see, at the beginning he says, be strong and courageous, do it. He says, do it. Do what the Lord has said. And He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. It's not finished yet. There is much work to be done. There are many souls to be won. The work is not over. I share with you a quote by Myers at the beginning of this message. Let me finish that quote. Myers went on to urge us, "Leave the things that are behind and reach forward to those that are before. For on each new height to which we attain, there are the appropriate joys that befit the new experience. Don't fret because life's joys are fled. There are more in front of you. Look up. Press forward. The best is yet to be." Church, we have to cast off the pessimism and press forward with a positive mindset like the heroes in the book of Revelation. They said, follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Our lives are investments with eternal dividends. Here on earth, we will finish in God's timing to immediately resume our activities in heaven, where an eternity of worship and work and fellowship awaits us. We are to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Where did He go? He went to the cross. He gave His life. He showed the way. We must follow the Lamb. He knows the way. We must follow the Lamb. We won't get lost. We must follow the Lamb and take up our cross. Go where He goes. Do what He does. Speak with the words He would speak. We must follow the Lamb. And the Lamb is moving forward. He could have said no. He said, I'm not going to the cross. I'm going back to heaven. He didn't go back to heaven. Not then. He did what He set out to do. He moved forward. He moved forward by coming to this earth. We celebrated His birth. He moved forward by growing in heart and stature. He moved forward in pleasing His Father. He moved forward in the ministry of calling the disciples. He moved forward in showing them the way, how to love, how to serve. He moved forward in establishing the church here. He moved forward in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And now we are called to move forward with the cause, to move forward with His vision in our lives. Will you say, yes, Lord? Just, Lord, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know, and I will do it. Is that you? Are you looking through the windshield and say, Lord, I see. I'm not looking at that rearview mirror. I'm just going to glance. But Lord, I am moving forward. We're going to go into a time of communion for you to reflect on that. If you're at home with us, joining us, I pray that you've prepared that at home and joined us as a body to celebrate, to remember the moving forward of what Christ did for us. So the bread and the cup, they represent what He gave, His all, a sacrifice of love. He moved forward for our salvation and to please His Father in heaven. So as you meditate today on that, I pray that you'll remember all that He did for you and what He's calling you to do today. Father God, we love you. We thank you for today. God, thank you for your words. They're so encouraging. God, we know that you're with us. We have to believe. We have to act. We have to walk in knowing that you are with us wherever we go. God, thank you. Just knowing you're with us should be enough to make us happy and carry joy around all year long. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you gave us. We ask your blessing upon this communion now as we remember the body that you gave, the blood that was flowed from your body for our forgiveness, for our purification. You open up the way to heaven, back to God. Thank you. We're forever grateful. So bless this communion now to your glory and to our remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen.